नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूतले श्रीमाते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनीति नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवरी पश्चितादे सितारिणे ओम अज्ञानातिमिरन्धस्य जनाञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामयं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम् वंशकल्पतरुभिश्च कृपसिन्धुभिः च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासुदिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय प्रभुपाद की जय श्रीपाद महाराज की जय गौर भक्तवृंद की जय
माधवपुरी महाराज की जय
हरे कृष्ण So I thought today I didn't have anything special prepared, and if there are any questions that you like to discuss, that you may have.
Maharaj, actually, you know, our this Subhendu Prabhu. He was actually telling actually in past actually that he was having a doubt about KRSN and Krishna actually. And his doubt is being getting you know cleared actually.
Yes, actually KRSNA.
Yes, Mother.
Is because of the ASCII text form.
Yes,
we can't put the diacritics on those letters.
Yes.
And there's a certain standard for using the letters with the diacritic mark. So a R by itself like that would actually stand for R with a dot under it.
Yes.
And the S by itself actually stands with a dot under the S. And the N also has a dot under it. So that what that means, the R with a dot under it means R-I. And the S with the dot under it means SH. And the N with the dot under it is a special way of pronouncing the Enya on Krishna.
So, Mara, that is English or some, you know, like.
That's transliteration. It's called transliteration.
Okay, Mara.
So, really speaking, when we're doing ASCII, we should write KRISHNA.
Yes.
Anyhow, because we write that so many times,
yes.
I put KRSNA just to make it a little shorter.
Yes.
Writing.
Yes, Maharaj.
But the meaning is that they correspond to a certain protocol.
Yes,
in the academic world, by which the Sanskrit letters are transliterated. So the R in Sanskrit letter is represented by R with dot under it, and the SH sound in Sanskrit has a special letter connected to that. And that is represented in the English letter with S dot under, with an underneath dot, like that. And then there's a couple of N's in Sanskrit, and so we distinguish that one particular that's in Krishna's name with a dot under the N.
Yes.
Krishna.
Maharaj, I have one question, Maharaj.
What's that?
Maharaj, in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling that there are persons who are learned in Vedas and they do they follow the practices of Vedic scriptures. For example, they chant the Omkar, and then there are also great sages who are in the renounced order of life, and then actually for this purpose the devotees are, sages are practicing celibacy, and after Krishna is explaining all that, like in this sloka, yadaksharam vedavido vadanti vishanti yadyatayo vitaragaha yadichanto brahmacharyam charanti tatte padam sangrahena pravakshaye. after telling about knowledge, then Krishna is telling that ananya chetaha sadatam yo mam smarati nityashah tasyaham suluvah artha nitya yuktasya yoginah. That means for one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain. O son of Pritha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. So the question is, Maharaj, that means even for those persons who are in knowledge, without devotion, Krishna is not available. So I would like to have some more light on this question, Maharaj. How this knowledge and how this devotion, what is the connection between them, or what is the difference between them?
What verse is that in Gita you're talking about? What number?
Maharaj?
What in the verse in that, what number verse in that in the 8th chapter?
These are two slokas are there, 8.11 and 8.14.
Eleven and 14, huh?
Yes.
So why you are asking, why is devotion necessary for knowledge? Is that your question?
No. Even after having knowledge, without telling that people are trying to have knowledge because they want to achieve some success in life. For example, they want to have salvation. They want to have some different, goals by which they want to achieve all those things. But even then, Krishna is telling at the end, we require devotion, and when the devotion is there, then to get Krishna is very easy. But otherwise, even after having so much knowledge, Krishna is not available so easily.
Yes.
Hello.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Who is that?
Maharaj, he's a devotee from Seoul. Maharaj, he joined actually just now.
Okay. I'm listening.
Oh. Pupanani. Alright. So, to know, knowledge means that you know something.
Yes.
So, to know God, to know Krishna, that is one thing. But we can understand that's different from serving Krishna and loving Krishna. Knowing something, knowing someone, you may know some particular person, famous person, whatever. It doesn't necessarily mean you have any affection for that person. There's no deep commitment to that person. Simply to know them is not enough to establish any kind of lasting connection with them. So Krishna doesn't advise that. We simply try to know him. Yeah, we may know him and then we think, well, I know so many things. And we remain puffed up with our egotistic knowledge, acquisition of knowledge. We still maintain. Who has got that microphone too loud?
I think Maharaj.
Lower. Yes. Papana, please lower your microphone. It's making too much noise. Thank you. Then knowing God does not mean that your ego has been eliminated yet. You may think, oh, I am so smart, I am so intelligent. The I is still there and centering on itself. My knowledge. Identifying with oneself, then it is not pure. It is not pure transcendental. Realization is not involved yet. still there is some sense of the self, self-importance, self-grounding, finite self-grounding is there. That is not the spiritual realm. And so to overcome that identification with the self of the finite plane, that is still mundane. Just like in our Hegel religion list, there are some people who are thinking that the absolute is determined by me. I can make some determination about what the absolute is from my thinking. And I am the absolute, because it is in my thinking that the absolute is coming. Therefore, I am the origin and source of the absolute. It still remains located within the I. And so many philosophers were guilty of that. Kant, Fichte, and Schelling, they are called, in the German idealistic camp, idealistic world, at the end of the 1800s. These three were there. Sorry. At the end of the 1700s. They came and were pronouncing this, enunciating this finite conception of the absolute. Maintaining the ground, maintaining their own ground within themselves, and determining the absolute from that position. Even Fichte went so far as to say that God is the projection of whatever we are. We can only understand the absolute to be on the basis of what we know of ourselves. We are persons, so we project that the absolute is person. We have so many qualities, so we project those qualities on God. Like that he was thinking. And he was rightly called an atheist, because that is atheism. And there are also some participants in that list who are enunciating the same kind of thinking, and they consider themselves Christians, but I consider them atheists, because they don't accept the supremacy of God, supremacy of the absolute, in which we are grounded there, and we have no independent existence apart from that. So that's only available, that consciousness is available to the devotee, and this is the significant mark that distinguishes devotee from the materialist, non-devotee. That he gives up the grounding within himself, and he puts his whole, the whole foundation of his being in Krishna. Some noise is coming again.
Yeah, I think Maharaj, this day, okay, now noise is stopped, I think.
Okay.
Oh, again it's coming, okay. Okay, Maharaj, I think I will explain. Maharaj, you can continue.
Okay. So, this is the difference. So, the devotee who is rendering devotional service, that is not something that comes from the grounding of our within ourself. It has its origin there in that world, higher world, superior world, and it descends to us. It captures us and it draws us within itself in its own service. That is Bhagavan. Bhagavan means who is attracting our service. We have a bigger set. Samit Pani Shotriyam Brahmanishtam Tad Vijnanartham. To know what is Tad, what is truth, what is what in the true sense. We must approach Sagarun, Sri Guru. Eva Abhigachet means you must do that. There is no other choice. You don't. It is not just a suggestion. This is the process. You must do that. Because Guru is one, not an ordinary person. He has some, but he made some progress in that direction, and we want to benefit from that. That will be to our maximum advantage to do in our life. That will take. It will be the maximum we can benefit we can do for ourselves. We must do that, therefore. If we don't do that, what happens? We will go remain in this world for millions of lifetimes. We don't know. Because we have failed to take up the activity that we must do as human beings, that Veda have instructed us as human beings what we are to do. We are not here with this vast intelligence or whatever. We have some intelligence. We are not here to waste it like animals. Animals are eating, sleeping, mating, defending. If human beings act like animals, then they are wasting the gift that they have as human life with this reason, this rationality, to understand that they are something more than this life. And to utilize that reason for getting freedom from this lower phase of existence. So eva abhigachet means you must do that. Then summit pani means with firewood, with sacrificial wood. You must go to Srotriyam Brahmanishtam. Brahmanishtam means who is devoted to Brahman, the spiritual, the absolute world. Nishtam. Completely absorbed in that. Fixed. Undevoted. Attracted. Srotriya means who has heard. Who has been revealed. Who has received that revealed knowledge coming in from Parampara, from Guru. So like the wood. Why is the wood to take to Guru? What is that sacrifice that must be performed? Actually, the disciple himself is the sacrificial wood. And Guru is the fire. When the wood is dry, then put it in the fire. And the heat of devotional life and the light of transcendental wisdom will come out. Will be kindled. But if the wood is wet, if he still has some material desires in the disciple, then the fire won't come so easily. It will take a long time. So both must be qualified. The qualification of Guru, Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. He has heard from the proper source, the Guru Parampara, and also he has his fixation, his absorption, his stand there in the higher realm. That kind of person we can get benefit from how to approach that world. And our qualification is we have to give up our material attachments.
Maharaj?
What?
Actually, there is a tendency that, sometime, some soul can go to a, spiritual master for gaining knowledge or some other, purpose. So Maharaj, actually, what attitude one must have to approach as, sadhu, pure devotee?
I'm sorry. No, I was just reading one message from Ram. He is also recording this. All right. Then, what is your question again?
Maharaj, actually, sometimes, when soul may approach, spiritual master or, a sadhu to gain some knowledge, right. So Maharaj,
yes.
Actually, what consciousness one must, have to approach a sadhu and what purpose he should approach.
Doesn't matter. If we approach the proper person, we'll get benefit. Even you come for knowledge or for peace, whatever reason you to get peace in your life. Whatever reason you come, you'll get some benefit. But according to your, like I'm saying, freedom from material attachments, then to that degree you will be directed into that world accordingly. Anya abhilashita shunyam. You have to make your desire zero. Actually, we should go without desire.
So that means, Maharaj, one should go to a sadhu for, fulfilling, sadhu wants from him, what direction he wants to give, one should follow to that.
Yes. to go follow direction. Slavery. Sridhar is told slavery. We go as slaves. I want to be your slave. I am through with this world. I have been slave to this world for so many lifetimes. Following every demand that came into me, all my desires are my masters. And they are demanding from me constantly. And I am under their control. Now I want to get free from that. I want to make that zero. Let me come under your command. You are my master, and I like to be directed by you. Anyhow, Guru has to have that potency coming from Krishna, that the disciple will go toward that other world, the higher world.
Maharaj, actually, our Dandan Prabhu, you know, typed a question here to me. He sent, right. I sent it. He said that there are so many sadhus. How to know who is real sadhu?
You have to check. What is he saying? What do the scriptures say? What is his behavior? So we are very fortunate. We have received knowledge of these things from Srila Prabhupada, Sridhar Maharaj, from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We accept that line as the pure line. And we find what they are teaching is somehow or other are in harmony with our heart's desire to find love. Krishna prema, divine love, not ordinary love. And we have that inclination to go there in that direction that they are presenting to us. So we have taken up that path that they are presenting. It was not so difficult. We came, we heard, and we accepted. we felt fortunate by that. I was thinking the other day, where does that faith come from? Why do we have so much faith in our Gurudev and what they are saying? What have we done to get that faith, to have that faith? Our position is unusual, peculiar. Sridhar Maharaj used to say, you are children of a different soil. You are not actually belonging to the soil of the earth. Your soil is of a different nature that belongs to the higher world. So really our faith is coming from that higher world somehow or other. It is the will of Krishna, by his inscrutable nature, that we are of that nature. We are drawn to that world. And we don't feel so much attachment to the soil of the earth that others are so comfortable in. We don't feel comfortable in that. Aham sarvasya pabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. I am the source of your faith, of your devotion, of everything. So we can only say it's the mercy of Krishna that we have that faith. I think it's like that. Otherwise it's inexplicable to me. Why?
I can't think
of any other thing. We're told Agyata Sukriti, so many things like that. I don't know.
Maharaj, yes. Actually, you know, it is said that, you know, Brahmanda Brahmite Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Krupai Pai Bhakti Lata Bij Maharaj. So Maharaj, right. You know, the Bhagya is also, you know, mentioned Maharaj. So Maharaj, yes. How what is this Bhagya Maharaj? you know, how one can, one, you know, gets this, you know, fortune. You know, it's like it come, it has to, mm-hmm. what you can say, mercy only, Maharaj.
Yes, I think it's like that. Bhagya is from Bhagavan.
Yes.
That is a real Bhagya.
Yes, Maharaj.
That real opulence is coming from the opulent one. Anyhow, let's see, what is this? Dandan says there are so many, oh, okay.
It's already finished.
Krishna is, Avadhut Prabhu. Krishna is omniscient and powerful. He is asking this question, how he can be in Yoga Maya and acting his pastimes truthfully. He must be pretending as described in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.4.17 or 10.12.27, pretending to be an ignorant child of Yashoda. He is in control of Yoga Maya, his energy, Lila Shakti, and is under the control of Yoga Maya. He is performing pastimes, but he knows it all. Yeah, so this is the mystery of Krishna, of the spiritual world. Yoga Maya is actually Radharani, under the potency of Radharani, the Swarup Shakti. She is deluding Krishna. He is God, and she is attracting him. And he can't understand why she's attracting me so much. Why am I so attracted to her? Her beauty, her charm is alluring me and engaging me in so many things. And Mother Yashoda also. So much affection she has for Krishna as her child, and he is drawn to that. And even when he exhibits his godliness, when he opened his mouth and so many universes were there, Mother Yashoda could not tolerate that vision. She could not see that. No, I'm not seeing that. That is not real. My child is here, and I'm only seeing that, and I will not know anything else. So the strength of devotion, the strength of love, conquers over even transcendental knowledge of God. God feels more pleasure in being a child than he does in being God, child of Mother Yashoda. He feels more pleasure in being the paramour lover of Radharani than he feels in being the Ishvara, Ishvara Paramakrishna. Doesn't mean that he's not Ishvara, he is. But he is attracted to these other things, just like a king. A king may be a king of the whole kingdom, and some peasant woman comes. All very sweet, very beautiful, very charming, very affectionate, very loving, and leaves the king, leaves the throne. Oh, I want you, I don't care for this throne anymore. Not that he doesn't, he's not the king, he's the king, but still he feels like that. So love conquers over all. And that is what we are told is ruling principle in the spiritual world. Yoga. Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya means that a Maya, that yoga means that is yoking us, linking us, capturing us from the innermost part, portion of our being, and directing us. Thus Vaishnavism, as he has as its goal, not knowledge of Krishna, but Krishna prema, love of Krishna. That is the highest goal, and that even Krishna is attracted by, and that is most pleasing to him. Therefore, we only approach with that mood of giving Krishna our love and affection, and how to develop that. There's a process for developing that, and in this plane, it comes through humility, giving respect to others, tolerance, all those qualities will be there, preliminary. In a preliminary stage, they are will lead to the symptoms of love, love for Krishna. If we have those symptoms, we will be able to see more easily how we can very gently and even passionately have closer, loving relationship with the Lord. And devotees aren't so interested in other features of knowledge and so forth. So we will understand all those things in the company of the Vaishnavas. If we live in intimate association with the devotees, we will learn those things. Those are the kind of devotees we want to be in the company of. We will, by what you call it, osmosis, something like that, just by being in the association of such loving souls, we will also come to that stage. Of course, in the big organizations, there are persons of so many different degrees of realization of that. So we must also be tolerant of all those newcomers who may not have that higher realization. And yet out of compassion, we bring them in also and try to encourage them to come under that influence in the proper way. That is the movement of Mahaprabhu in his Kali Yuga. His great mercy to us, because in this whole world there is so much fighting and enviousness and jealousy. Terrible things are going on. Genocide, animal slaughter. How is it possible that they will understand love?
Maharaj, actually,
what's that?
Narad Rishi says, actually, you know, I left the body being not envious of anybody. Then I got this, you know, transcendental body in Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj.
Mm-hmm.
So Maharaj, actually, you know, like this is the non-enviousness. It is known as Nirmatsarya, something like this.
Nirmatsarya.
So Maharaj, how one, you know, attains that?
Nirmatsarya. Armak Projita Kaitavo, that how to give up this cheating propensity, this envious propensity. I think that's up to Guru Dev to remove that from our heart. How he will do that is another thing, but it's a very difficult thing to give up on our own. We may at first to recognize that we are envious. That is the first step. Some people don't even realize they are living their life in that mood, and they don't even know. And that is very difficult to deal with. So first to recognize our own polluted condition, first step, then to want to give that up. And then by the affection and kindness of Gurudev, we may be able to overcome that. Because it comes only from ego, that I want what others have, envious, that's envy. Others have something, I want that. I want to be in that position or whatever. As envy. So by being faithful to Guru, Vaishnav, trying to serve them, that may be overcome. We will find that by living in such a sweet life, living in the company of the sweet devotees, what is the need of being envious? We are having so much joy, so much sweetness in our heart coming from their sweetness. Then why to be envy? I have everything in this service mood, in this service life. What is there to be envious of? I have everything already. I'm enjoying that.
Maharaj, actually, this in this world, actually, you know, very difficult to overcome enviousness and pride, Maharaj. Yeah,
yes. So that's why scriptures have given us the process. You must approach Guru with a particular attitude, particular humility, and in a serving way. All those things are given in the scriptures, how we must approach, and that will help us to overcome those things. And Guru will help also from his side. We have to do our part, and Guru has to do his part. And if a proper person, if we can find a proper person who has compassion upon us, enough compassion to deal with our, tolerate our ignorance and our selfishness, then we are in a very fortunate position. But we must make the attempt also from our side. If we're not showing sincerity, then Guru will also not take so much interest in such a person. So we have to make our attempt. And Guru will give his affection and guidance accordingly. You will see, even we have some imperfection, they won't withdraw. All right, you have some time, you can make an adjustment. It'll be very nice, but you must follow strictly. So I think discipline is very important in that case. We must constantly keep checking ourselves, and don't feel that we are so advanced that we can, that we don't need it to be corrected. Someone talking?
No, someone is asking something, but we can't hear. Who is talking? I don't know. If somebody can't able to talk, they can type also in this chat.
Generally, people don't attempt to become depressed. They don't attempt to put themselves in a situation where they will be depressed. We have an inherent hankering for
help. Oh, Maharaj, somebody has played his, you know, that is the problem. Fastest satsanga, actually. Yes, Maharaj.
So any, yes? Yes, Prabhu?
Can I ask one question, Maharaj?
Yes, Prabhu?
Actually, Maharaj, in scriptures it is described, Krishna is saying, Vedesha Sarver Aham Eva Vedyo. By the study of all Vedas, only Krishna is to be the final, you know, the final reality to be understood.
Yes.
It is described in that Krishna consciousness is summum bonum of spiritual life. I mean, another place also it is mentioned that actually, if one gets Krishna bhakti, then everything else is already considered to be done. Krishna bhakti koile sarva karma krita hoy. So,
yes.
It seems, like for example, in this sloka it has been mentioned that Vedesu Jagesu, whatever is achievable by study of Vedas, performance of good deeds or by sacrifice or whatever it is, everything is achieved simply with a param yogi when he achieves, when he engages in pure Krishna consciousness. A devotee gets everything, whatever results are obtained by any other process. So it indicates that in pure Krishna consciousness or in unalloyed Krishna bhakti, there is something more which the scriptures are indicating. So what is extra which is being described when they say that our purpose, our goal is the unalloyed love of Godhead?
Yes. Why, you're asking, why is everything else included in that?
No.
Why? When, Maharaj, just, what's that?
Actually, I'm asking Maharaj, the scriptures are saying in the unalloyed Krishna consciousness, the goal of spiritual life is unalloyed Krishna consciousness or unalloyed Prema Bhakti, pure love of God. And also it is mentioned when somebody has this, when the Param Yogi means the Bhakta, the devotee. So he is not bereft of the results of the, I mean, of the other processes, like for example, if somebody is, you know, engaging in the cultivation of
means,
knowledge,
it means they are all only steps. They are all only steps to the path of perfection, which is and devotional service, love of God, Krishna prema. They are only steps.
My specific question is, Maharaj, that it indicates that in analogy or in pure love of God, there is something which is not available anywhere else. What is that extra thing, Maharaj?
They, all those things that are other than Krishna prema, they are only steps. They are only, what do you say, by a path, points on the path, stops along the path. But the path leads to, the goal of the path is that all the paths lead to is Krishna prema.
Yes,
so so if you go the full path, then all the points along the path are already included, surpassed. You have already reached those points, and you have gone beyond that to a further point. So Krishna gives so many directives: karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga, in the Bhagavad Gita. But all those are meant what? To bring them to Krishna. To love Krishna, to serve Krishna. Meanwhile, they are trying to have some process of serving their separate interests. Krishna says, okay, you can have that, but ultimately you must come to me. So in the meantime, you can follow my directions. As long as you follow my directions in your separate attempts, you are still keeping me somehow there in the picture. So you follow those processes, but ultimately you must come to me in love. That is what all those processes are meant for. Just like when you get $100, you automatically have 99, you have $10, all those other denominations you have. So like that, Krishna prema is the ultimate thing that we are after. So many other concessions are given in the meantime, but all under the direction of Krishna, so that this way Krishna is at least known to be there in whatever other endeavors we're engaged in, and that somehow or other, when we recognize that it's Krishna all the time that is there and directing me, then we may turn our attention to him and develop our love for him, because he is so merciful to us. That will require some realization on our part, to recognize that he was there all the time, giving us whatever we wanted, serving our interests. So we have automatically we will have affection that he is so kind to us. How have I neglected his affection to me? Now I must make amends. I must show my affection properly. Oh, he's been there all the time for me. All right. So, I think it's now time. We have to end.
Yes, Maharaj.
Thank you, Prabhus.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
All your kindness and kind listening.
Jai Sri Bhakti Madhapuri Maharaj ki jai.
And encouraging us in our devotional service and our devotional life. Jai Sri Prabhupada, Jai Sri Padma Raj, Jai Gaur Bhaktivinoda,
Hare Bobo. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Pandat Pana.
All goes to Tolidas
Bhaktivinoda
Maharaj. Jai Krishna Prabhu. What happened to Krishna Prabhu? He's not here today.
No Maharaj, he went offline actually, came and some problem, maybe power problem or something maybe.
Alright. Hare Bobo, Hare Bobo.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Pandat Pana.